again. Now, George Bailey, back to George. It's a Wonderful Life. Do you remember the story? As a kid, when he was 12, his brother, remember, fell through the ice pond. And George jumped in to save him, okay? And he saved him. But in the midst, what happened to George? Lost his hearing, okay? So he couldn't hear, which would later come back to him later. George always had that spirit of wanting to go. He was always wanting to go. And he was always doing something. He saved his money to go. He was going to see the world. He's going to get out of that little place, you know, and get out of Seneca Falls. Get out of there. And then he was working in the drugstore, remember? And then working in the drugstore, the pharmacist, the druggist pharmacist, was distraught over the fact that his own son had died with the flu. Do you remember what happened? George was watching him mix drugs. You remember he was mixing drugs for another child who was sick. And he inadvertently, in his own grief and not paying attention, put poison in the bottle. Remember that? George caught it. Say the boy, say, you know, the druggist and all that. It goes on, all these events. Then he says, okay, so he's going to get married, okay? Going to get married, saved all his money. And within all of that, there was a graduation issue. He gets married. He wants to get out of there. He can't get out. But upon graduation, his dad died. George is ready to go. Saved all his money working. He was ready to go see the world. See the world. His dad died. And his dad owned the loan branch. His dad owned the business, okay? So George stopped his plans to say, listen, I'm going to get involved with my dad's business. And he ends up saving the business then, and he had to have that. I had to put my plans on hold. Really? A wonderful life? So then he decides to get married. Saved all his money for his honeymoon. They're going to go away. And what happened on the honeymoon? Remember? Before he got to the honeymoon, he lost the money, the $8,000. It was in the newspaper. Potter took it. And then tried to put George out of business. And he sees the bank. As he's leaving on the honeymoon, he's leaving out, and he sees the bank being run. And there's a run on the bank because they let it out that there's no money in the bank. George takes his honeymoon money, right? Bails out the bank. He's so depressed and he's so discouraged. What does he want to do? Commit suicide. A wonderful life? Really? And I wonder at times as I was thinking through this, we see this Christmas story, and we have a perspective of looking back and saying, man, how great a narrative it is. But was it for those involved? Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. Now, within the marriage, there's three different steps. In many cases, this may have been an arranged marriage. There was a contractual stage, there was an engagement stage, and there was an actual marriage. So they were pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found. That means they hadn't had any sex. That's the polite way of putting that. Before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, what did the law say should happen to her? She should be stoned. Could be stoned. Okay? That's not a wonderful life, folks. And that could ruin your day. And yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had, you know, that's like sending her to Aunt Mary's house, which we used to do years ago. Girl becomes pregnant. Let's go visit Aunt Mary for about 9-10 months. All right? But after he had considered this, an angel, that was in the church, by the way. That's what the church, how the church handled that. But the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Yeah, right. To take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God's with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. We read that. We read it out of Matthew. We read it out of Luke. We say, what a wonderful story. Look at all that. But I wonder, how did Joseph and Mary, how do they survive the season? I mean, we look back now, and we have the privilege of looking back in 2020 perspective to look back and say, what a great story and blessing. He saw them in a dream. But can you place yourself in Joseph and Mary's spot? And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, because it's a wonderful life, but I also realize that as we come to the time of the year, as we come to this season, for some, it's not such a wonderful life right now. For some, we say, oh yes, And then the question for me is, how do you survive the season at times? For me, how do I survive this season? For you, how do you survive this season? For those, even though things you go great into it, how do you survive this season? There are so many issues that come psychologically during this time. Stress, depression, all the different issues. Marital disharmony during this type of season. Your mother-in-law's coming, or your whatever's coming. All the things that take... So who's there in that bed? Nah, better than you laughing back there. Who, you know, all the stress, how do we survive? Think about it. Think about Joseph for just a minute. Joseph was in a dilemma. Here, they knew they were contracted. There was a pledge that they were going to be married. They're in this, what we would call engagement. They're in spousal time, what we would call engagement. It was given, it would last about a year. And it was given for them to get to know each other, to really say, okay, yes, we're going to get to know each other, the likes, dislikes, because love was a choice in an arranged situation. You choose to love somebody, which is still a choice. We choose to love. It was more than a feeling. And Joseph, during this time, had chosen to love Mary, and they were making this choice. And can you imagine Joseph's dilemma when all of a sudden Mary comes to him and says, I got something I got to tell you. And Joseph said, whoa, whoa, whoa. I mean, just think about it. Can you think about the dread in Mary, even though she knows what God told her that, man, but can you think Joseph and say, what am I going to do here? And he had already made that choice to love her. He made that choice. It was a choice made. And he said, the law, he was torn between the law, says, man, I could put her out and she could be stoned. And in his first thought, he may have thought, well, who have you been with? Uh-huh, sure, right, tell me. God. That's plausible. I've heard a lot about that. And yet he had care for her, so he said, you know what? One of the versions says he decided he's going to put her away quietly and privately. He didn't want to bring that public shame, that public disgrace. And it said as he wrestled with this, he pondered this, and he went to sleep on it. And in that sleep, he had a dream, and God said, no, Lord, don't be afraid. Can you imagine? I mean, he wakes up and he does exactly what God said, but you realize the faith and trust. But even still, even though Mary had said this is from God, and even though God had visited in dream with Joseph and said, this is of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, it didn't appear to anybody else. Do you understand what I'm saying? There was a baby bump that was going to begin. And I don't know how plausible it's going to be for people. Mary say, it's not his. It's his. You think? The public shame, the public disgrace that would have been brought that they had to walk through. Can you imagine the people who give you a little look to the side? You know what? The gossip talk that takes place. And Joseph to be the man that said, listen, I'm going to raise a child that's not my own. And I'm going to love that child that's not my own. I'm going to be the dad to that, but his father is God. Can you imagine the humiliation within that? His friends, the teasing. But think of Mary. It's one thing for Joseph to say, okay, yeah, but Mary was living it. It was visible within her. It was visible. It visited upon her, and she got bigger and bigger. And this child, and the shame that she may have felt, even though inside there was conflicting issues in her role that said, yes, I know it's of God, but then she said, I'm unworthy. Said, no, it's not about your worth. Again, even with Mary, you are worthy because you're going to be visited by God. Can you imagine her feeling and the feeling of her life? We read it, we think, oh, no big deal. Can you imagine her telling her parents, I've got something to tell you? I wonder if Joseph went along. Can you imagine that exchange? I mean, we read it, we don't think, but just think about it. Think about her family. Think about Joseph's family. All of a sudden, there's the family secret. Elephant in the room, like, do we really believe this? Do we really believe? In fact, I don't think probably really people believed it until she went to visit Elizabeth and there was the communion in the womb that took place and all that took place, and then they started to see that there's something different about this. The family, the talk of gossip. Oh, that family. We know that family. How do you survive the season? And I guess the question really that I was starting out, how do we survive the season? Our season isn't nearly like that, I don't think. I don't think we're trying to deal with all of that as it was that first season, that first family. But how do we survive the season? As you come into it, there are some people who look into the season and say, oh man, I just want to survive it. I've heard that. I've said that. Just get me through it. Are you the type that says, oh man, I'm just engaged, I'm so, and I'm ready for it? Or do you say, oh man, this is, you know, we've lost what Christmas is all about. I want to give you some points that I think that we can take here from our own issues and apply to our life as we look at this holiday season, especially as we go for the next couple of weeks here where it really intensifies. One, slow down and listen. I'm not talking about listening to other people. That's part of it. But man, Joseph slept on it, pondered it, concerned. Mary could have been stoned. Joseph, to take that shame, Mary to bear that shame, to bear the glances, to bear the rumors, all those things. But Joseph slowed down enough to listen to what God had to say, and he believed it, and he acted upon it. I think this time of year, we get so in a rush to get the things done. Everything has to be just right. The reality is we need to slow down and listen to what God may have to say about us and to us and about this season. In my life group this week, we had an interesting life group just talking about Christmas and how it's just been totally lost and the perception of what it is and what it isn't and the busyness of it and the reality of we need to slow down and see what Christmas is all about. In our life group, there was a real point to the de-emphasis of gifts. To going back to making some of those making gifts and nostalgic gifts and having time together and making it what it really is all about. To slow down and listen. I think within that we need to simplify. I think sometimes we need to simplify our expectations. We need to simplify between what is really, what we see as necessary versus what is needed. To simplify, what about your family time? Is it all about the table that has all the fine china and everything? And simplify, even these, oh, the kids drive me crazy. And to simplify all the things that that we have all these great expectations about. Do we need to lower the expectations to come back to what Christmas is really all about? And focus on that. To focus and say, well, it's not about all these things. It's not about all the rush and the rage around us. We need to simplify and say, God, on this season, we need to come back and focus on what the season is really all about to bring us peace inside. That it's not about all finding that perfect gift for somebody. The perfect gift has already been given. And that's what we need to focus on. I think there's times that we need to search for ways to hear God, to hear God challenge you. To say, you know what, maybe I need to be praying more for these people instead of wondering what gift I should give them. We need to search to see the wonder of God in display in people's lives, in our life, and to say, how can I make this time of the year important and really come back to what's needed? And within that, to share what this season is all about. To not be afraid, to not be embarrassed. To share that this is Emmanuel, God with us. That we are able to share what God has done in us, through us, that we, through our mess, he gives us his message and we become his messenger. His messenger to the world, to our sphere of influence. It's a wonderful life. Do you remember when it became a wonderful life for George? He was going to jump off the bridge, wasn't he? And Clarence, the angel, remember, jumped in first. And George, instead of jumping in over the bridge to commit suicide, did what? He jumped in to save Clarence. This whole time, then Clarence says, let me show you what your life would be like. Let me show you what others' lives would be like if you had not had been here. And he says, I want you to remember this. And George looked back. And his brother wasn't there because he died in a pond. And there would have been no business. There would have been no There would have been no Bedford Estates because it would have never been made. And all of a sudden, George realized how blessed he was. And it became a wonderful life, even in the midst of turmoil. Do you remember this time of year, we need to realize what has been done in our life and for us? I asked my life group, I did a little different, but I asked my life group basically what was the greatest gift ever given them, and it couldn't be spiritual. Some couldn't even remember what they got last year. What's the greatest gift given? But when we look back, what makes us, and in our life group, what was made was the memories that had been made from these times. And we need to remember what God has done in our life. And that's what needs to be the message of Christmas. That God came through the birth of a son. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he came, Emmanuel, God with us. And as we look back, and this year, it's about making memories of things with Christ, of people with Christ, not about the gift, because the gifts are going to be gone. Your kids are going to play with their wrapping paper longer than they play with their gift. And the reality is we need to come back to that issue of saying, listen, what were the... And George only had perspective when he looked back and said, look at my life. Look what has happened. We need to make the impact in our life to say, look, at Christ has changed my life. And that's what makes it a wonderful life. In our life group, I close with this. Is this Christmas about the Jesus of your making? Or the Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us? Do we make Jesus the way we want to see him? Is this Christmas about, have we lost focus on what Christmas is really all about? That we go out and we get frustrated with the crowds and those obnoxious drivers, and then it rains, and all the things that happen, and the meal that has to come together, and so-and-so didn't bring this, and all the stress that you're going to have on that Christmas, and the issue of, we talked about even the issue of many churches are canceling on Christmas morning. The issue is saying, where does the focus of what our Christmas is really all about? Is it the Jesus of your making, or is it the Jesus that we celebrate? God is here, we're going to celebrate that. Can you imagine Joseph and Mary? I mean, we see things, wow. But do we place ourselves where they're at? But the point of it was that Mary had a son. It was Emmanuel. And the shepherds came, and the wise men came, and it was great news that produced great joy for everybody, for the world. Let's make Christmas about the great news of great joy for you and for me, and let's remember what he's done in our lives.